Could you please tell us your name?
Pardon?
Your name.
My name? Yes. Oh, forget it now. John Mallory.
When were you born?
Cramer, Manitoba, 1903, January the 10th.
And when did you come to Burnaby?
Oh, 1927, I believe it was, in Burnaby, actually. 1926, or 1926, perhaps. It was 26 or 27, I couldn't be sure.
Where did you come from then?
From Westminster, a long way away.
And why did you choose to come and live in Burnaby?
Well, I don't know. It's just one of those things. Not because I knew Burnaby or loved it or anything like that. It was just a force of circumstances, I suppose. You know.
Yeah.
We drift around, possibly for no reason at all, but we have an opportunity to go somewhere and we go. And so there was no special inducement to come to Burnaby, no.
I just ended up here. Whereabouts in Burnaby did you live then?
I lived at 1851 4th Street and 19th Avenue and 4th Street.
And what were you doing at that time? What was your job when you came here?
I was unemployed part of the time. I go out and run jobs, construction jobs and all that sort of thing. And renovate mills and that sort of thing, you know. But I was unemployed most of the time because there was just no work. There was just no work.
Even in the 27, 28 period?
It would be, I would say yes, it would be about 1928 that I came over. That's interesting. I was up in Powell River before that time, and I was helping to build a mill in Powell River, and I played baseball in the local leagues there for 2 years, you know. I used to play baseball, and then I came back and settled here again. That's about all I can remember on that score.
Okay. When did you realize that the Depression of the 1930s was sort of something worse than had happened before?
Well, I don't think anybody really, but a great majority of the people didn't realize that the Depression was coming on so fast and so acute. I know one man in Vancouver that had 300 and some odd houses. He was the biggest house builder in Vancouver. And he got caught in the middle and he lost everything. Practically everything. He saved two houses out of it. He couldn't rent them because nobody had the money. And he couldn't sell them because nobody had the money. And they were lying there. He had any old money on them because, you know, that's a big project. And so he couldn't make his payments, so they confiscated them. They seized them. And and as far as the workers were concerned, I don't think that any... most of the workers didn't realize that there was a depression coming on so deep as that one. Sure, some of them realized there was a recession, but it came on so fast in 1929. I know I got caught in the middle because I built a house down on 13th Avenue and 11th Avenue and 13th Street here in Burnaby, and I borrowed $1,500 for I had some money, but I borrowed that money to finance the balance of it. And of course, depression hit, and I couldn't make my payments, unemployed most of the time. And, so eventually, I lost it. After about 2 years delinquency, he came to me and he says, "We got to do something about this house business." He says, "Well, I can't let this go on." I said, "No." I said, "You can have it tomorrow without any trouble at all." I said, "I realize that there's no future at the present time and I won't be able to pick up what I owe. So therefore, you might as well have it back." I don't want the house," he said. "I don't want it." He said, "I don't want to foreclose." Well, I said, "All I can do is do my best." And I said, "The present time, it looks pretty dim. And the future looks grim for me. So I said, well, I'm going to leave it as it is. So the next year, I got a lawyer letter from him telling me that he was going to foreclose. And so I got in touch with the lawyer and I got in touch with the owner. And I told him, I said, it's so unnecessary, all this, because I told you a year ago you could have the house without any fuss or bother. And said, well, we've got to do something about it. I said, okay, you can have it, sure. I said, all I want out of it to get out would be $250 to reestablish myself. That's all. That's all I want, and you can have it. And he said, well, he says, I don't see why I should pay the $250. Well, I said, if you don't, you'll have a picket line around it. I'm telling you that because I was a member of one of the kingpins in the Unemployed Workers Association. And so I said, you can see my position. I'm not trying to make it difficult for you. I realize that you've lost, and so have I. So I said, all I can suggest is that to rehabilitate myself would be to have money, because if I go out and try to rent a house, nobody's going to let me in unless I have money. Simple as that. Because once they were in the house, the owner was stuck, you know. So I told him, I said, I've got to have money to get out. So eventually, we dickered back and forth, and the upstairs was not finished in that house. So I said, I'll tell you what I'll do, to be fair with you. To finish the upstairs would be worth about $250. I said, I will finish that for you. And you give me the $250. I said, I don't mind that. I've got lots of time in my hands, but I don't mind it. So I said, that way it wouldn't hurt you. He said, that's fine, we'll go for that. So that's what I did. I finished the upstairs, I got my $250, and I went over. That was prior to 4th Street. So I went over to 4th Street. I rented a house over there with a half acre of land or a little better, and a big chicken house on it, and Forum House. It's still there. I rented the whole caboodle for $10 a month. And so there was an old duck pen back in the back end of it. Oh, about 10 by 18, I guess. I think I told you about that before. So I said, I got to get some more revenue out of this place. So we got an ID on to the neighbors, and we had a gallon of wine, and that, we moved this thing up near the front, you know, not far from the other house. And cleaned it all up, painted it, and then put a little shed on the side. And I rented that for 4.5 months. So my rent was costing me 5.5 then, which wasn't too bad. And then I had the use of the big chicken house, brand new that one was, and had a garden there and so on, and I got by pretty fair. And then I was out working maybe four months of the year, perhaps. Running construction jobs, because I was a construction foreman. And during that process, or prior to that, I became active in the labor movement. I was active in the Independent Labor Party, and then they changed the name of that to the Independent Labor Party Socialists. And then from that, they changed the name to the Socialist Party of Canada. And out of that came the CCF, and out of the CCF came the NDP. That is the sequence right down. And I was quite active with Mr. Winch, Ernie Winch, who was a famous man, in the Socialist Party movement. I was quite active with him. And what
period was that? 1920?
No, that would be somewhere around the 30s, that would be when I was active in that, I think. See, I'm not sure about my dates. I haven't got any log or diary of the dates so far back.
Would it have been before the Depression, though, wouldn't it?
Well, it was just prior to that I built that house on 11th Avenue and 13th Street, just prior to the Depression. And then after I got the house built, everything went haywire. The Depression set in really in earnest, you know. It was so fast. It developed so fast that people didn't realize there was a big Depression underway. And I was caught in the middle, too. Otherwise, I wouldn't have built that house.